Excellent. Thank you, Tracy. Friends, this last week I had the opportunity to go and watch all of my kids perform or compete in one shape or form or other. I got to watch my daughter Haley practice her soccer with all of her soccer team. I got to watch Christian slam dunk a basketball against the Avon Lake basketball team. And I've been watching Christian compete in the sports in the school for about 6 years now, ever since seventh grade. And I've got to tell you, I don't think we've ever beaten Avon Lake. And that day we ended up beating Avon Lake with 1 second, literally 1 second to go in overtime. It was so exciting. I saw McKenna stand beside her boyfriend Aiden and both act in a murder mystery play that happened, and both of them were hilarious and excellent actors. And I also got to see my son Ethan defend the basketball court against the Hoban basketball team, which was a much bigger team. He snagged several rebounds, blocked several shots, and stole the ball. And then I got to watch my youngest son Noah compete in the local youth sectional finals. And he ended up placing fourth. Noah's on the bottom right side right there. And he's right now, because he got fourth last weekend, he's now competing as we speak in the district finals over at Firestone High School this morning. But as I was watching that, and Cindy and I were watching it last Sunday, and she just told me that I'm developing a new bromance with Noah's wrestling coach, Austin. He's this awesome, absolutely awesome, great role model for all of our young kids. Austin graduated from high school at Firestone, where he was a wrestler there. He went off to serve our nation in the military, and now in his mid-20s, he's back, and he's ready to help our team be the very best that they possibly can be. And I absolutely love the passion that he brings to helping all of our young men become the people God has created them to be. And so I talked to Austin quite a bit, and I thanked him for all the things he'd been teaching my son Noah. But basically, he told all of our athletes, it's like, when you get out there on the wrestling mat, you've got two choices. You either go for it, or you lay down, roll over, and just give up. Now, Dylan, I know you're a wrestler also, and so, you know, when you get out there on the wrestling mat, there's really no way you can blame any of your teammates if you don't wrestle well. You can't point your finger at your coach. You're simply out there and exposed for the entire world to see. The days in which you wrestle well, they see it, and the days in which you don't, they see it too. There's really nothing that you can hide behind on the wrestling mat. If you're a little bit overweight, the whole world sees it because you don't have a baggy uniform. You just wear this singlet, and you're just exposed for the world to see. And so you get out there, and you go for it. And there on the wrestling mat, there's exertion, and there's exhaustion. There's the thrill of hearing the mat slapped when you know that you have pinned your opponent. And there's also the agony and tears of defeat when you know you've given your very best, but it just wasn't enough. And so I watched my son Noah compete. I've got to tell you, I couldn't be more proud of him. Mostly because he was able to exhibit what I so many times in my own life failed to exhibit, which was the courage to step up on the mat and just simply go for it, regardless of all the fears that surround us in life. He didn't worry about what other people might have thought about his body. He didn't worry about the competition in front of him. He simply went for it. And I'm so proud. And I looked at him and I thought, my gosh, this is my son. This is my child. And have you ever wondered how God sees us as God's children? And have you ever asked yourself, Lord, why have you planted me in this place in life? What is it that you have called me to do? I've been wrestling with that idea as myself over the last several years, and I'm in a book study with a group of people. We're reading a book called Dreaming God-Sized Dreams, in which we're trying to figure out what exactly has God called us to do in this life. What is our mission? And I've been wrestling with it for quite some time, a whole lot of years, trying to figure out where God is leading me. And I've got to tell you, I'm singling in a little bit. I think I know who God's made me to be. That God has created me to fight in this world. God's created me to fight. From the time I was a little boy at the age of 10, I've faced all sorts of adversity, and sometimes I've been knocked down like Noah on the wrestling mat. There are days in which we win, and there are days in which we lose. But we still have class either way. But I've got to tell you, God has created me to fight. Not in some way in which they talk about in 1 Corinthians that Tracy read this morning, in which the church is quarreling with one another over whose leadership they want to follow. Because there were some in Paul's church that wanted to follow Paul. There were others who wanted to follow Apollos. And when we quarrel with each other over stuff like that, it's like, gosh, all we do is we rot on the vine. We wither on the vine. But rather, we are called to fight a good fight. We are called to go for it, to step onto the mat, to step out into the light, and to go for it. And whatever it is that God has created within you, to go for. If God has created you to plant, then go and plant for all that you are worth. If God has created you to water, then go and water until the day that you die. But no matter what you do, go for it with courage. Step into the light and go for it in Christ's name. And so, friends, I think that I've been created to fight. Not in a way that destroys the church, but in a way that builds up God's kingdom. I've been created to stand beside those who have been knocked down, to be able to lift them up and to so that they know strength again. I've been created to reach out to those who have been rejected and who have been outcast, to let them know that Christ is a special place at the wedding banquet, that Jesus is saved just particularly for them. And I've been called to walk beside the brokenhearted and the lost, mostly because I've been there too. And I know that I will probably be there at some point again in my life. But as we walk side by side together in Christ's name, we can give thanks for the cracks and for the brokenness in our life, because it's through the cracks, it's through the brokenness that the light of Christ has the opportunity to shine into our lives. And so who has God created you to be? And where will you step out in faith and go for it? We read that passage from the book of Deuteronomy, in which God gives us two choices. He says, today I lay before you life and prosperity, or death and adversity. Now you think to yourself, if I'm going to choose life or choose death, it doesn't seem like that hard of a choice. Who in their right minds would want to choose death, right? Well, I would agree with you. But the thing is, I've known people who have chosen death, not because they wanted to, but have embraced death not as the enemy, but rather as a merciful release after a long and hard battle with an illness. And I'm not talking about that kind of thing. But there are folks who are perfectly healthy, who are striving to live good lives, who inadvertently choose death along the way. You might ask yourself, well, what in the world are you talking about, Bill? Well, friends, it all happens when we listen to the gods, the lesser gods, and the voices that are out there in the world. The gods of fear, the gods of negativity, and the gods of inadequacy. All of the gods that tell you that you don't have enough, you don't have what you need, and so it better be that you just simply step back out of the light, to slip back into the darkness, for heaven forbid you might actually go do something in the name of Jesus Christ. And when we listen to those voices, when we stop listening to the voice of God, we recede back away from the life that God has called us to, and we begin to die inch by inch and inch in our lives. But Christ has called you to life. He's called you to go and prosper in His name. He's called you to step onto the mat, to not worry about what the world might think of you, and to simply go for it in faith. And so what will you be guided by? By fear? Or by faith? I would never put on a wrestling singlet, because I've got to tell you, Cindy and I said, there's got to be a better uniform for these wrestlers to wear. There's got to be a better uniform. But I've got to tell you, every time Noah steps on the mat, he doesn't think a thing of it. He doesn't worry about what the rest of the world thinks of him. The only thing that he listens to, as a matter of fact, there's people shouting all sorts of things. He doesn't listen to my voice. He only listens to one voice, and that is the voice of his coach, who knows what he's been trained to do. And as Noah is wrestling, when he's being put on his back, when he's facing adversity, he's got his coach yelling at him to not just simply to flounder in his faith, to not flounder in where God has called him to do, but to do all the things that Noah has been trained to do on that wrestling mat, and to strive for life with every bit, with every ounce of energy that he has. And that happens to all of us too. The question is, what are the voices that you listen to? Because there is the voice of the one who created us, who knows us better than anybody else in the world knows us. There is the voice of the one who created you, who knows you exactly what you're capable of. It's the voice of the one who created you, who is calling you to life. And so whose voice will you listen to? Will you listen to the voices of fear? Will you listen to the voices of life that come from our Savior, Jesus Christ? I've been practicing martial arts now for about 30 years. Ever since 1990, I've been doing it. And you might think, but honestly, 1990 doesn't feel like 30 years ago. But it is. I was like, oh my gosh, it's 3 decades ago. Holy smokes. And I've been doing it for 3 decades now. And you might say, Bill, after 3 decades, don't you think you have it by now? And my answer is plain and simple, no, I don't. Not at all. And so I practice 7 days a week. I work out 7 days a week because I don't have it yet. I don't have it yet. And I know that just like in the passage in 1 Corinthians that Tracy read today, that when we face adversity in life, we find ourselves reverting back to childish ways. We forget the voice of the one who called us forward to life, and we find ourselves flailing around as if we'd never been trained before in our lives. And so in both in martial arts and in faith, I continue to learn and learn and learn and learn again because I don't have it yet. I don't have it yet, but I want to. And so we continue to study, we continue to learn. And one of the things that Jennifer Dyer and I are going to be doing is we're going to be teaching a class together. It's called Going Back to the Basics. It's an adult confirmation class. We're going to be doing it during the church after hours thing that we're going to be starting in March. It'll be from 2:30 to 4 o'clock on March 1st, 8th, 15th, and 22nd. Because I always know that in both martial arts and in faith, it's the basics at work. That when life has knocked you down, when you think that the gods of fear are calling you to simply slip back into the darkness, it's the basic understanding of faith in Jesus Christ that carries you through, that gives you the courage to stand back up again, to strive forward into the light of Christ, and to go and pursue life for all that you have. So where has God called you? And what mission has God placed in your heart? Friends, we aren't called to recede into the darkness and to sit down. We're called to stand and to strive forward in Christ's name. So go, get on the mat. Listen to the one voice of the true God who calls you. He's calling you to life. And go and pursue it for all that you're worth. Amen. Friends, will we please stand for our closing hymn? Lord, whose love and humble service, hymnal number 581.